time for our first feature now. Ian Robertson has chosen another of the marvellous stories from his book, this one entitled Tom Pierce's Bus. Here he is to read it.
Another Jonathan Mardle piece for you, Tom Pierce's Bus, published in the EDP, 22nd of September, 1954. I was reading the other day in Sketches by Boz Dickens's description of the conductors of the horse buses that were introduced into London early in the 19th century. The conductors were known as cads and behaved like them. According to Dickens, they had the appearance of convicts and the manners of highwaymen. They were employed by the proprietors to decoy and even force as many people as possible into their buses and steal passengers from rival vehicles. People found themselves shoved off the pavement into the wrong bus and conveyed willy-nilly to the wrong destination. Meanwhile, the driver of the opposition bus retaliated upon the piracy of the cad by driving so close behind that the long pole between the horses poked into the backs of the stolen passengers. Such were the results of competitive private enterprise in the early days of public transport. Now we order things differently. Instead of competition between buses for passengers, we have competition between passengers for buses. And the efforts of the conductors, respectable trade unionists, are devoted to keeping people out instead of cramming them in. Dickens's story of an old gentleman conveyed by force to Paddington, where they wanted to go to bank, can be capped by the Vic's story of a modern old gentleman who, with antiquated gallantry, gave up his seat to a lady and was then turned off the bus by the conductor, because that made 9 passengers standing, and the regulations decreed there should not be more than 8. Only in remote parts of the country, which are not yet properly organised, are little inconveniences overcome by little courtesies. There was, for instance, an old single-decker bus waiting in a village at the bottom of a very steep hill in the West Country. The owner was one Tom Pierce, who was not nationalised. The conductor was a slender man with delicate features and a little pointed beard. He looked like Sir Walter Raleigh, but perhaps he was one of the local colony of artists who, failing to sell his paintings, had taken up bus conducting for a livelihood. Tom Pierce's old bus was very full, with 8 passengers standing, when a party of holidaymakers turned up at 6:05. Sir Walter Raleigh looked at us, who were already packed into the bus, and we looked at him. City trained, we knew what to expect. Sir Walter hardened his expressive features to a mask of duty. "Can't do it," he said. "We're too full already." "Oh," groaned the holiday party. "But there isn't another bus until 8 o'clock. Sir Walter looked again at his busload, and we looked sympathetically at the party waiting. Sir Walter popped his head inside the driver's cab and conferred with the broad Cornish head and shoulders behind the wheel. He came back and looked sternly at the party. "How many are there of you?" 8, they said hopelessly. And then, at 6:01, Sir Walter smiled. "All right," he said, "come on in." With a rattle of ironmongery and a groaning of gears, Tom Pierce's old bus gallantly tackled the gradient of 1 in 7 with 46 people on board. While she was going uphill, we all swayed to the back, and when she went downhill, we all swayed to the front, as if we were going to spill out over the driver. Sir Walter wriggled amongst us, collecting fares and smiling at all the girls, and everybody smiled back at him, for he had drawn the whole busload into an alliance of courtesy in breach of regulations. On my very first evening back home, I got on another bus, a big, fine, properly organised 2-decker. The conductor was a bitter-looking man who seemed to dislike it. Some people asked him whether the bus was going to the far end of the route. No, he said. It says bus station on the front. You should read it. Then he got into an argument with the man who had gone a stage beyond the one he paid for. He said he knew the man and he'd done it before and on purpose. The man was angry. You're a twerp, he said. So are you, said the conductor, and that'll cost you 3 halfpence. Here it is, said the man, and you're the biggest twerp that ever got on a bus. And you're a double twerp, shouted the conductor, as the man got off. It was sadly unoriginal, but I think he enjoyed the opportunity to vent his spleen. I was glad to get off the bus myself. It was charged with hatred. Not that I am unsympathetic to bus conductors. It must be a hard life, running up and down stairs, pushing past strap hangers, giving change for 3 halfpences out of half crowns, writing down minute figures in tiny spaces against the jolting of the bus, dealing with argumentative people, silly people, the company's regulations, and drunks. Perhaps it's only those gifted with a special sweetness of character who are able to sing and joke as they work, who help old ladies and young children up and down the steps. And perhaps my splenetic conductor had bunions, dyspepsia, or a nagging wife. But I should like to hear Sir Walter Raleigh dealing with a passenger who's defrauded Tom Pierce of 3 halfpence and call him a twerp into the bargain. I think the incident would have been more exhilarating than depressing, and I'm sure he would have something interesting and original to say. However, there is doubtless more freedom as well as kindness about working for Tom Pierce in the depths of the West Country than there is about working to regulation in a town.